Hello guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Wheel Up podcast. I'm your host, Lammy.
I'm Carl. Sensed a bit of a giggle there. A good note to start the pod on.
I'm getting my hosting skills up because
It's even good. If you know how much I've just lamented to Lammy just now before we started recording.
Oh boy, it's stressed, unfortunately.
Super stressed. Work, they're actually trying to bury me, but I can never die, luckily. So, but I can never die. But yeah, man. With that being said, how have you been since we last recorded?
It's been a minute, and up to? Life's been good. Yeah. Work's been cushy. Cannot complain whatsoever.
Have you had your, I don't think so, I think you said it was July, your trip to Amsterdam, was it?
No, that's in September.
September.
So okay, the fair. Annual conference is September every year. But I did manage to book my flight for that, so.
Are they going to reimburse you?
Yeah, credit card and all that. So that's good. I know work life for you has been, we were just talking about it.
For a good 20 minutes before we even started the pod. Yeah. It's because if we didn't do that, I'd have come on the pod to start ranting about my work. So it's probably good I didn't. But yeah, no, apart from that, work has been, it's been all right. It's just been stressful, long hours, a lot of pressure, a lot of work. But I believe that it's going to be rewarding at the end of the day. So
yeah, definitely.
I can't complain too much, man.
But you had a holiday though, didn't you?
Yes, actually. So was it last week or the week before? I came back from Malta. So I went to Malta for 4 days. Really, really cool country, by the way, guys. I wish I'd been there for longer, to be honest. But the weather was really good. It was about 34 degrees the whole time I was there. There was lots of activities. We went on some speedboat thing that kind of, we basically were lying down on this inflatable bed thing, and then a speedboat would just drag us and fling us anyhow.
the post on your story.
I was rattled.
I
was shook because I'm not trying to fall in. I can swim in it, but there's something about open water and this sea.
Yeah, it's
is
very scary.
You know, and in my head, I was thinking, I hope there's no sharks in it. I'm sure there were sharks, but I was like, let me just not fall into this deep ocean now. So I was gripping onto it for my dear life. But it was really good fun, really good fun. The country itself is really cool. Everything's quite close to each other as well. So you can walk to most places. Has a decent nightlife as well. And it's one of those places where you see on holiday adverts, and you can see really clear blue water that you can see right to the bottom of. Yeah, it had some of that stuff as well, which is really cool.
Nice. Yeah, it's definitely on my list.
But yeah, no, you should go. I'd encourage anyone to go, to be honest. And it did offer me some good respite from my working schedule. And it was my birthday, actually, in between when we last recorded. It was my birthday. I did do something for it. I had a little shindig, a last-minute shindig. But yeah, your boy turned 42 years old.
Do you know what? When you said you're turning 30, I had to hesitate.
Too many people were like, what? I was like, are you kidding me? There's people I went to primary school and secondary school were asking me, are you really 30? I'm like, wow. Are you silly?
I clocked it was a joke, but I was like,
I even have to tell people it was a joke by adding another joke saying, no, I'm just joking, I turned 18. But it's people still weren't getting it. I just thought I'd troll people. But my real age is 42. So, it was a good birthday. I need to settle down soon, going on 43.
Wow.
I'm still out here.
You're still running with the joke.
What joke?
Oh, okay.
I don't know what you're talking about. I guess into the music then. Before I get into my own spin, anything you've been listening to recently or anything that's caught your attention briefly?
So I've been getting into a lot of some of the new releases. Gold Link, I've been really enjoying his album.
Yeah,
Diaspora, the one with Justine Sky on the cover. At first I wasn't sure if that was her or not, and I feel like he might come to regret that decision in the future.
Well, putting her on the cover,
just in case, you never know. But
do you know what's kind of mad? What was it? I think it was yesterday or Sunday, right? He was at, have you heard of a rave called Recess?
I saw on Instagram he was just at Recess.
With his bucket hat on. He performed for a few minutes, I think. But like, it seemed like he was just at the rave as an attendee. We'll get into that though when we speak about Gold Link. Any other genres? Have you been mainly hip hop and R&B or branched out at all?
I've been, apart from that, I've been sticking to mostly what I've been listening to, which is like a lot of sappy shit.
Yeah, is that your kind of your mood at the moment?
Yeah, kind of, but then a lot of female rap as well. Like I'm discovering even more artists. Like,
and we had a pod quite a few weeks back where you know you're the first one to ever mention City Girls to me. Like, and that was.
Do you know what? I've been the first to mention a lot of female raps that was on over this a year team. Ago.
Yeah, now they've blown.
I don't get the credit for it.
Yeah, no, you deserve all the accolades.
Yeah, I've heard of people like. Mulatto, she's like, I think she's a South rapper, I think from Miami, I'm not sure. No, she's from the South, somewhere in the South, but yeah, she's really good. Is she black?
Funny because mulatto is a term that South Americans use for black people or morena.
That would make sense then, because she's, I mean, there's a bit of like a Latin community in Miami, isn't it?
Majorly. But yeah, that's cool. Any other female rappers for us to check out?
I'd have to have a
dig into your library.
I've been listening to more like Cash Doll, like she's known.
She can rap. I was thinking, is she feeling a type of way because what's her name? Megan has kind of come after her and blown a lot quicker than her. I know they're friends and that, but deep down, is she feeling a way like because she's been doing this for a while and. Yeah, you know, hasn't quite got the same buzz that
I feel like she's Megan has. Probably humble anyway, and they've got a slightly different style anyway. So
yeah. Trina drops a new album I think the other day as well. I haven't listened to it, but
neither have I. But yeah, Dreezy, she's got bars. I've heard she's of her. Very good.
I know.
Light skin Keisha, remember ages
that's
ago.
The rapper's name.
Yeah, talked about her a while ago. Remember on Black's album when we talked about that on a couple episodes back?
Oh, was she the one that was on the voice notes? I ain't got no time, nigga. Wow, yeah. Okay.
She's hilarious and her raps are hilarious. So, like.
Is she light skin?
Yeah.
Is her name Keisha?
Yeah. So
very original.
She's the kind of like music that you listen to when you feel like a bad bitch and you're in the gym, like that sort of thing. Gotcha. So,
I hear that.
That's the purpose.
So that's kind of been your wave-ish, that along with the soppy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
Very much two different styles, but yeah.
Fair. Extremes, actually. You're having a hot girl summer while crying about a fella.
Listen, that is exactly the way to put it.
I'm like, that's all girls there. Everyone screaming hot girl summer is really secretly crying over something done somewhere. Like, that's why I can't pay it no mind. I'm like, yeah, hot girl summer, yeah? All right, cool.
These feel times, so man,
breaking your heart behind closed doors. You better shut up, man. I just look at it and I laugh, man. I honestly laugh. I think it was it
Carl's onto us. He's like,
listen, I see through all of that. There was it not JT? What's the other city girl?
Young Miami.
Didn't she get pregnant? And then everyone was like, hot girl summer's cancelled or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Imagine. You lot aren't serious. If you're gonna do it, you gotta do it properly, man. Do hot girl summer.
So far I've never claimed hot girl summer.
Okay.
I was thinking Jhené Aiko summer at one point.
When your spiritual starts swaying left and right, you know, rubbing incense together, hoping someone returns to you. Alright then. How about we all have our individual
summer? It's gonna be a Lammy summer.
Yeah, that's it, man. But yeah, what have I been listening to? I'm going to be honest, guys. I haven't really had the chance to listen to a lot of music because of how hectic work has been. But one album that I have listened to a few times, actually, from top to bottom, which has surprised me, was Mostak's album called Stacko. I remember when I saw the album artwork, I was like, this looks a bit shit.
It's literally just him
in designer clothes and jewelry holding stacks, I guess. Mm. But it was just a bit like... It didn't seem very original, like the name of the album, the artwork. I was like, this ain't going to be that good. And I was working from home one day and I just listened to it. And I was like, this is actually all right. Like, from the second half down, I really enjoyed it. So I guess my on spin from this week comes from Mostak's album. It's a song called Make Me Fall In Love And You Can Keep Me Forever. We'll get into it now and I'll talk a bit about it afterwards.
Here it goes.
love and you can keep me forever. Yeah, that's a deal, right? Only if it feels right. I'ma keep it uncut. There's a lot of man I wanna punch up, and girl I wanna unfuck. Home cooked meals for my Asda. And the dinner days are mad fun. To tell you the one that ain't that hard. Blood, I was sobering your back.
So the reason I like this one, if you can tell already, it's quite a sweet sounding song, which I didn't really expect Mostack to be able to do. A lot of his like singles and that have been very much like club bangers and everything, so to hear him firmly in his R&B bag and execute it really well is something I enjoyed. And I really like the feature as well by an artist called Dalapo. I think they came together really well. Yeah, and it's just a nice song. I think when I listen to the album top to bottom, that's the first song I replayed. Which is surprising considering the album had a song with Dave and Jay Huss on the same song. But yeah, no, that was Make Me Fall In Love and You Can Keep Me Forever.
Cool. So what shall we get into next?
I guess we're speaking about Gold Link earlier.
Yeah, let's get into some of the tracks.
Yeah, so Diaspora.
Firstly, what do you think of the concept and the term Diaspora and naming the album that? Like, do you feel like he is in a place to be able to say he's from Diaspora?
To me, the album made sense in terms of the title, the features, the sounds. It all made sense to me. It all came together. Gold Link is someone who's kind of come out a few times and says like he loves London, like he's always in London. He's been to London so many times and everything. And you can kind of see it in the features and in the music. And then he's also, I think on our last ep, we spoke about his song with, I think he had a song with Santi, and he also has a song with Malik Berry, which is on his album.
Yep.
You know, we could see that he was aware of like artists that outside of his genre were popping and made good music with them.
Yes.
So, you know, with all of that being said, and also as we said in our last episode, he's also been one of the more experimental rappers we have in terms of sound.
Yeah, he's very versatile.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I thought the title Diaspora and the music that was on there was very fitting. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I was at first a little confused as to why he chose to go with the like Diaspora theme, because I thought he was very much, I mean, even after hearing him on Santi's album, I still thought that he's very much that African-American sort of person. And yes, he's exposed to what's going on around like the music scene and like Afrobeats in London and like here and there, but I wasn't sure he could really like say Diaspora when he's, you know, still very much African-American.
Yeah.
However, he pulled this off rather well, and each feature has like had the opportunity to shine, and nothing was corny, nothing was overdone. Like, it just was a complete vibe, and I just feel like, yeah, he really pulled it off. And yeah, it just speaks to just how versatile he is, right? And it was so good to hear Wizkid on No Lie, because I feel like that is the best I've heard Wizkid in a minute.
Yeah,
because we've heard
a bit lazy.
Yeah, he's definitely lazy with like the song Fever and like just giving us very, very chill vibe. But I heard Wizkid like Comfort on No Lie, and I was like, yes, this is like such a banger. I haven't heard him like that since Starboy days, you know. And I thought, okay, if Gold Link can bring this out of Wizkid, then yeah, he definitely knows how to link up with people to get the best out of them. Like, definitely the track with Malik Berry as well. That's, I mean, Zulu of Scream. Course, yeah, Malik Berry is obviously sick, so
yeah,
like, he does his thing, but he didn't slack on Zulu Scream, so yeah, I definitely feel like this album is very solid.
That's dope. So I guess, would you say your favourite song was No Lie then, or?
I would say it's More.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a summery vibe for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably my favourite song as well. Sorry about how badly I sang that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just such a, and it's, I think it's like right in the middle as well. It's such a.
Do you know what I just clocked?
What?
It's Lola Ray on the feature. She's an Afrobeats artist.
Yeah,
isn't she?
And she's not even been out here that much at all.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Calling's wavy, you know.
Mm-hmm. So he knows the scene, like he knows, and he knows the good people in the scene. Like he's not just pulling like who's hot at the moment, you know. Yeah. I mean, for him to have picked Lola Ray, that's, you know, that says something.
Yeah. Should we go through some of the features that he's got?
Yeah, sure. So there's a lot of.
He's got a song called Joke Ting. I was like,
oh, oh yeah.
Why did he call it Joke Ting? Like, oh. What's he got? He's got Khalid. Okay, Khalid is Khalid, I guess. But then Zulu Screams, he's got Malik Berry and Bibi Borelli.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Bibi Borelli?
She's like I might be wrong, but like she's like a French, like Afro sort of,
okay,
politan sort of vibe to her. I haven't actually listened to her, but yeah. I clicked her profile like for a second.
Yeah. So she's diaspora, I guess. Yeah.
Very much so.
You got Lola Ray, who's an Afrobeats artist, right?
Yeah.
On More. Then you got Pusha T on Coke. How did you go from Malik Berry and Bibi Borelli and Khalid and Lola Ray to Pusha T?
It's very diverse.
Yeah.
Very diverse.
Very.
Coke White, obviously standard Pusha.
Yeah, Pusha B and
giving us the Coke talk.
I'm glad that Goldlink can make an album that is this diverse with so many sounds, and then still afford someone like Pusha T a verse and a beat that would complement him as well.
Yeah.
Without compromising too much on the album sound, even on Pusha T's sound as well.
I feel like it's probably something he was sitting on, and it was good enough to put in the album that didn't jar the whole theme.
Yeah, literally. It's right in the middle of the album as well, you know. Pusha T and Pusha T. I think halfway through the song, the beat switches, isn't he? And he goes into his rapping bag.
Yeah.
Which you didn't get too much of on this one. Like, you know, it's more of a, probably a more mellow vibe, I'd say. But yeah, he broke out into rap, as I like to term things, which was dope as well. Like, he showed us that I can still rap, don't get me wrong, but I'm on this diaspora thing for now. Then I guess the next song, he's got Tyler the Creator and Jay Prince.
Yeah, it's funny because when I first heard the introduction to the song, I could hear Tyler coming up. Like, this is even on first listen. I was like, that's the thing with Tyler. Like, he's so distinct in his, like, his features and his style that you just know when it's something that he's going to appear on.
Mm.
And, yeah, I enjoyed it. It's like, it was, you know, very much a Tyler song that Goldlink, you know, accommodated him for. Yeah.
It's cool that you got Jay Prince, who's a UK artist on there. That's a combination, Tyler the Creator and Jay Prince, that we probably never would have seen if it wasn't for someone like Goldlink.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his A&R bag there, I guess.
You know?
That's cool as well. Not only has he got people from all over, from Africa, from the UK, from America, but he's put them together and made it really work.
It works.
You know? He's got a really good ear.
Yeah. You know? And then Western. I just remember like when they first dropped on the scene, like no one took them seriously, did they? I mean, Into was a banger, but like
we didn't think after that there would be much more.
It was like, who are these like pop guys?
Yeah, they're very, very poppy from the jump as well. Yeah. But that being said, I think Hailey's hook or chorus on this is quite infectious and quite catchy.
I
like the beat on it as well.
Very summertime tune.
Spanish song, which is cool. I don't actually remember much of Spanish song. Was it good?
It's one I'd have to like listen
it
to
again.
It to,
yeah. And then No Lie, which is the track you were talking about with
I'd say that's my second favourite.
Yeah.
Mm.
Then you've got Tiff Freestyle, Rumble. Have you heard of Jackson Wang and Lil Nye?
No, I haven't.
They featured on Rumble. Yeah.
And I do like Rumble, actually. That's one of the ones I would go back to, but I never really clocked the features like that.
Yeah. Probably two people I'll probably go back on and see, I guess, the type of music they make, where they're from, because it's likely that they're probably
good
from somewhere that's probably not America because of the direction he's taken on the album. But would you say it's a good attempt at a multicultural album then?
Definitely. He pulled it out the bag, and this is something that could have gone left.
Very left.
It could
Severely
have gone left. And he somehow, I mean, from Wizkid to Pusha to Malik Berry to
Creator.
Tyler, it's just like all over the place.
I don't know how it does, but it works.
You know.
So just in time for the summer as well. A couple summer bangers on there.
Yeah, definitely. I can imagine hearing Yard at Carnival. You know, all that.
It's got that sound. It's got that Caribbean sound. So he's got African sounds. He's got Caribbean sounds. He's got American sounds. He's got UK sounds.
Diaspora indeed.
There's a four continent. Yeah, four continents.
Mm.
Diaspora indeed.
Yeah, whilst all sounding very black, you know.
Yeah.
So
he's actually got a show coming up in November. I'm trying to get tickets to, but I'm probably going to end up slacking on that. But hopefully I do get tickets eventually and I go to it. But it should be a really good show.
After this album and seeing like little Instagram videos of him like at recess, I thought, like he's definitely worth seeing.
That just shows how integrated he is with whoever, like, recess, okay, in, I'm going to say black Twitter, recess is like, it's like a known motive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for someone from America, in such a large country, to even have heard really of it and to know, this is the spot to go to on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
You know, and he's, why is he in London? He ain't got a show in London anytime soon. So he was probably just in London because he wanted to be in London.
Mm.
And he ended up getting to recess, which is so unpulsed with the culture and like what we like as diasporans.
He's definitely got his ear to the...
Yeah. Or at least people around him has ears to the streets.
He's definitely like... Yeah.
And that's why it sounded so genuine on the album, because he's genuinely here. Like, he's genuinely mixing with these artists and listening to their music. Like, there's no way he's just picked these artists out of a hat without actually listening to their music.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, that was, I guess, Diaspora, which is a solid album. Would you want to rate it?
Yeah, let's rate it. Are we doing letter ratings again?
Yeah, letter.
It's
an interesting one.
I know we haven't really got into like the lyrics and that. I mean, and Goldlink is someone who
he can rap.
Like, yeah, so we there is room to like talk about the lyrics on this album, but because it's Goldlink and it's just so, but like he's so much. I don't know. We could spend ages talking about that.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think
on this album, I don't think he wanted us to really sit there and decipher his bars. Yeah, that was not what this album was about.
And another thing I noticed, like there was a lot of repetitive bars. So like I heard like this line over and over, like trying to make a million for all my children. Like, I heard that a few times, scattered across a few tracks.
Yeah, he's put that in a hook as well in the track.
Yeah.
Trying to make a million for all my children.
Yeah, anyway, that one. And so it's not. That's not to say that, oh, yeah, he's slacking, da-da-da.
Mm.
It's just, yeah, like you said, rightfully, that like, it's not something for us to, like, sit down and really take in like that.
The direction he was trying to go in. Like,
yeah.
It's not like he tried and failed.
But it's something worth mentioning just in terms of, like, rating.
Yeah. So with that being said...
Nothing harsh, but with that being said... I would give it...
I'm staring at her with intent here. I'm waiting for the letter that's going to come. I feel like you're going to give it a D or something crazy.
No. I'm actually...
Torn between...
Between, like, a B+.
Oh, okay. I thought you were on a
and
B
maybe,
minus C. Okay.
I'm thinking maybe normal B or B+. Just because of how well he pulled off.
Yeah.
Like...
Which is not easy.
I've never... Like, I don't think we've seen... an album that diverse that works and it's not just trying to be like, oh yeah, I've got this person, like the thing works.
So
I think he deserves a B/B+ for that.
I'll give him a B+, man.
Yeah
For the effort, if anything.
Exactly.
B+. Yeah,
it's well deserved.
Yeah.
So
what else has been going on, I guess? Actually, this week, did you notice that Chance the Rapper, he had two projects that were released previously, but been re-released on streaming services.
I remember it was the very last episode that we were talking about. We spoke about Chance very briefly.
Yeah, he had dropped a couple of singles or something.
Yeah, and you were saying how you didn't like acid rap, but I said that I actually loved acid rap.
So are you happy with this re-release on
streaming? I was happy to see it on Tidal.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's probably on Spotify and all the others. And this album, well, it was a mixtape, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was very much like one of those moment albums, mixtapes for me, because it was something that I would play like every Sunday morning.
Really?
Yeah, back in uni days. I know. Yeah. Funny time in my life, but like back in uni days, like I didn't go to church or anything on a Sunday, but. I guess acid rap was the same.
That was your church.
That was my church. So I would like do my little like cleaning or whatever on a Sunday morning, and I'd play that, and it would just mellow me out so much. Mm. And because you know it's, I don't know if you remember what it sounds like, but it's got that jazzy, slightly. Because you know Chance, having grown up in Chicago and like the church somewhat, He's always got that soulful, like, gospel-y sound.
Yeah, he likes his trumpets as well. And that
So it felt very right and, like, to listen to on a Sunday morning. So, like, I felt like that was my church.
Is it similar sounding to Colouring Book then?
Nah, I mean, that's another reason why I guess we're opposite. We have opposite views on chants, because whilst I liked acid rap, like, he tried to do the, like, that was the gospel one, isn't it?
Yeah,
I felt like it just went a bit left on Colouring Book, so it doesn't sound like that, because acid rap is very much, it's, he sounds like a nitty, to be honest, on it. Like, that's the whole...
Didn't he come out and say he was on a lot of drugs when he made
yeah,
it,
right? That's the idea. Like, he would go into the studio on acid and just chat shit, basically.
So,
and
on Sunday morning, instead of going to church, you were listening to
music. To drug-fueled rap.
Fantastic. Fair.
Yeah, but, yeah, he's an odd one, because, yeah, he's someone who very much raps about something that's happening at that moment.
Mm.
So that's why his style changes a lot. So, like, on 10 Day, which also released on streaming services as well, that came about because he was... not dropped out, but, like, what do you call it? When you're kicked out of school. Yeah.
Oh, right.
He was kicked out of school for 10 days.
Oh,
and
wow.
So in 10 days, he made 10 Day.
That's a dope concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool concept. So that was that happened at the moment. And, like, everything he talks about on 10 Days about, like, oh, yeah, school, kicked out.
What's the sound like on it? Is it?
So,
is it in between acid rap and Colouring Book, or is it his own sound completely?
It's quite unique in that you can tell the beat choices are very different. They're, like, still got that slightly jazzy element, but, yeah, it's not his best.
Mm.
And so...
I mean, he made it in 10 days, so it's probably a throwaway. If
there are some really, like, standout tracks for me. I haven't listened to it in ages.
Yeah.
Are
you going to now that it's come back on stream?
Yeah, I will.
You happy with the re-releases?
Last time I listened to it was when we were still downloading
stuff off datpiff.com.
Imagine, I downloaded it on datpiff.com, you know.
Speaking of datpiff, that used to be the home of mixtapes and all things we didn't want to buy, right?
That was my number one bookmark.
Literally, datpiff.com. And they used to, like, tier, like, mixtapes into, like, diamond and, like, as if they're actually being sold. You've gone diamond in illegal streams or illegal buyers. What does that mean? Speaking of that then, so what do you feel like? Because I feel like recently, in the last year or so, there's been a move to move a lot of mixtapes onto mainstream
streaming platforms. Drake doing it with So Far Gone.
Had Meek Mill do it with Dream Chasers 2 and 3. We've had Joey Badass do it with 1999 and Summer Nights, which isn't the full version, but whatever.
Actually, really quickly, on Chance's acid rap, one of the tracks, because I was just listening to it through this morning, and the song Juice was supposed to come on.
Mm.
And then next thing I hear is, hey guys, so I wasn't able to get the...
He actually put that in the... No way.
I wasn't able to get the clearing for this track, but if you play it through... The money goes to charity, so yeah, run that back.
Imagine. See, I was Chance, like, is cool like that, though.
That,
like,
is so... Although
it's corny, that's cool. Like,
that's so sloppy, but hey.
Imagine. That's cool.
I found that hilarious.
I respect that. Imagine, like, you ain't listened to acid rap in a long time because the streaming service is the first time listening to it in a few years. You expect to hear a certain track and then you just hear Chance's voice.
One interlude of his voice.
And you're saying that. It's kind of endearing, man. No, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah, but... Probably after a while, you don't want to hear that.
It really disrupts the album, but hey.
Yeah, fair. That's neither here nor there. But there has been, like, a recent move towards... I don't know commercially how that would work then, because are the labels paying for those samples to be... Traditionally, mixtapes were just other people's beats and you just spit your own verse on other people's beats. Which obviously, if it's going on mainstream music platforms, then it means that people are going to pay for this music, whether through streaming or through physical sales. And it means samples or certain tracks will have to be cleared.
Mm.
So it's like, are labels now going backwards and clearing artists before they were signed, clearing their mixtapes and that, just so it can be on streaming services? Or how does that even work? Like, I don't really know.
Yeah, it's weird because someone like Drake on So Far Gone, like, he had, Likely, or whatever her name is, he had the Kanye sample.
Oh, Likely, yeah. It wasn't Kanye. It was a Kanye beat. Not even yeah. Sample. Say What's Real, right? The whole beat was a Kanye beat.
So, there was a few other... Yeah,
Congratulations as well, which is a Coldplay song.
Yeah. There was a Jay-Z... Ignorant Shit.
Oh, yeah, that was with American Gangster. Yeah. The whole beat. It wasn't even samples. These are whole beats just taken, yeah.
So, it's interesting because I would imagine... I don't have the facts, but I would imagine that Drake, being like the superstar status he is now, he has the money to shell out to just clear all that shit and
put out.
Yeah, let me have that for my 10-year like anniversary or whatever. But then the likes of Chance, who struggled to get clearing for a track like Juice. I don't even know what song that samples. I got the juice. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. But it must be a hard sort of thing to do. Because I was just telling Carl before that I wish one of the albums that I wish was on streaming, well, not albums, mixtapes, that I wish was on streaming services is Frank Ocean's Nostalgia Ultra.
Yeah.
And I already know that that's a case where no way in hell is he going to get clearing on a couple of those tracks. Like American Wedding, he's already been in legal battles over that. So American Wedding, it's not even a sample, it's the whole like... instrumental that's from Hotel California by the Eagles, which is an amazing song as well. But they've already like had a whole legal battle with that, so that's actually been pulled from. Even if you go back to like, does that piff even exist? Back to one of those websites, you'll see that American Wedding has been taken off Nostalgia Ultra. That was a like hard one. But then you've got tracks like Strawberry Swing.
It's Coldplay again.
Another Coldplay instrumental, not even sample.
It's a good song, the original as well.
Both songs are really good. You've got... I feel like there's a T.I. instrumental somewhere. Or sample. Maybe. Not sure. There's, a few of them are not original tracks. So I feel like that would never appear on streaming services. But it's an interesting question because a lot of them, like mixtapes that we got into back in the day, were like from other people's beats or like just samples or just entire instrumentals that we may never see on streaming services. Like, can you think of any others that you would wish?
I'd probably wish there's a mixtape. So recently they put Cushion Orange Juice on there by Wiz Khalifa, which was kind of crowned as his classic or whatever. I actually think his best body of work was a mixtape called Taylor Alderdice, which was actually all original beats, but for some reason he just hasn't made the move to put it on mainstream streaming services. But it's basically with Taylor Alderdice, so Wiz Khalifa released Cushion Orange Juice, right? And everyone loved it. It was like a fan favourite. And then he got signed and then he put his first album out called Rolling Papers, and it's a song that had Black and Yellow, Roll Up, all those kind of really poppy tunes. So a lot of his fans were like, oh, I love it, like you've really gone anti kind of, he was all about the, I mean, even in that poppy album he still talked about smoking weed and that, but it was in a very polished and commercial way. And so his fans kind of, a lot of them dropped out because of it, and it took him maybe 3 or 4 albums when people were like, listen, we're just not feeling it, go back to the essence of Cushion Orange Juice. And then he dropped Taylor Alderdice, which doesn't sound the same, but it's back to that essence. But by then he'd been in the game for so long and kind of refined his ear for beats and everything, and obviously his mixing and mastering and engineering was a lot better as well. And I think Taylor Alderdice was probably his best project in terms of him as a rapper and also his sounds. So I do wish that was on streaming services, but you know, beggars can't be choosers. We have had a lot of mixtapes on mainstream streaming services. But I will say though that it's weird because, as you said, a lot of mixtapes back in the day on Dat Piff, they were, you know, other people's beats entirely and then people just spitting on them. But we had this weird, probably a good thing, a period where mixtapes just didn't sound like mixtapes anymore. And I remember distinctly... Yeah.
The line between like mixtape and album became blurred.
Yeah. And I remember it happened with, for me anyway, it happened with, and I got this off datpiff.com, it was Rick Ross's Rich Forever mixtape, which I think is still to this day one of Rick Ross's best bodies of work. And that one, I think it was all original beats and it was like this is an album. This actually sounds like an album. And then from then onwards, everyone was like, oh shit, like, we need to... Do you know, I'm going to go ahead and credit Rick Ross for changing the mixtape game. And then from then, everyone was like, okay, if this is what we're doing, then this is what we're doing. Like,
yeah.
I need to make a...
That's interesting.
An album that's kind of a mixtape, you know?
I've never thought of Rick Ross being the
trailblazer for that. Yeah, but I fully think he was. And since then, a lot of people were using original music in mixtapes and everything, you know, and putting mixtapes on streaming services, fresh mixtapes on streaming services. Nowadays, how often do you hear an artist say, oh, I'm releasing an album? It's always a project, quote unquote.
Yeah, project,
you know?
That's
and back in the days, if it's not an album, it's a mixtape. So this whole project word, has it replaced mixtape or like...
Yeah, it's like a in-between sort of term to say that, oh yeah, it's a bunch of tracks that I put together, but it's not really an album, but it kind of is.
I'm struggling to understand why nowadays it's like, if you want to put out an album, put out an album. If it's not an album, why are you putting it out for sale? Right? If it's something that is just like, oh, I'll just put this together, just hold this while I'm making the album, then it should be a mixtape and therefore it shouldn't be for sale, right? It should be digested as mixtapes once were.
But because everything's streamed now, you can make money off anything. So even if you put a 30-second interlude that people can stream, you're making money off of it. So
it's original music now. So why is your original music to such a subpar standard to your album music? Like, it's like you're purposely saying, oh, I'm going to just make this anyhow music.
Here's this, and then stream it for me.
And stream it for me, while I go use this streaming money to make my actual album. It's like, it's a bit, I don't know, I feel a kind of way about it when I say, oh, my project, and they kind of refuse to label it as an album. It's like, so why are you giving it to me then? Like,
I do get confused with like the whole mixtape album situation a lot of the time.
People rarely put out albums nowadays. Rarely.
Yeah.
It's just a bit weird. Projects. So that's kind of an interesting one on mixtapes and streaming and kind of the direction that music has been going in terms of what we label bodies of work now. I guess talking about albums then, today is actually the 2-year anniversary of 444, Jay-Z's album. So 2 years on, like, did you listen to it when it came out?
Oh yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I was waiting at the door for this album.
Cool.
So, I loved it. I
2 years on.
It. Yeah. Obviously, like, the aftermath of Lemonade. Do you know what? This
Beyonce's husband.
This whole, like, it's hilarious. Anyway.
A lot of people are hating on the album because I think people were expecting...
Oh, no, I'm someone, like, that is a fan of both of them, right? So, whilst, like, I took in Lemonade and, like, oh, wow, he did her wrong at all of this, I was still waiting for, like, 444 because...
Of course you
I
were.
Knew it was going to be the,
of course
the
you
response
were.
To Lemonade, and I knew that it was just going to be, you know...
It wasn't even a tit-for-tat kind of response. It was him acknowledging accepting, I went wrong, don't make these mistakes. I could have lost my kids and my wife. Don't go Eric Benet, which is what he said you know. I almost lost this generation's version of Lisa Benet. Like, don't do that. Like, so although I think he only addressed the whole situation on a few tracks, but when he did address it, he addressed it in a very mature way, in a very kind of, this is how you do things properly, you know? No baby mama drama, like...
Because you know me, I go through the emotions of music, right? So, it's funny, because I was through a similar situation with Lemonade anyway. So, I had fully, like, embodied that. And then to hear, like, 444, it was kind of like... a bit of a consolation, funnily enough. And I just felt like, oh, wow. So this is what men think.
It was psychology,
when it comes, when it comes to, like, madness in relationships. And
I just say?
Yeah.
You got to that conclusion after listening to Jay-Z's album. Meanwhile, on Beyonce's album, she was there screaming, who the fuck do you think I am? Can you see? They say, oh, girls are more mature than guys. Jay-Z was there saying, I hold my hands up, I'm wrong, I apologize. Beyonce was like, oh,
yeah,
I'm about to the next
easy
dick,
way
boy.
Out. Yeah? Women go through the entire spectrum of emotions. Listen, it's not easy being a woman, right?
Beyonce was the one who was wrong, so of course
she
could do that.
She went from Pray You Catch Me to fucking... What's the formation? So that was a whole
journey.
That was growth.
Yeah. Nah, I hear that. No, I just thought I was bantering it. But it's funny how you came to that conclusion after hearing Jay-Z's album. And also, aside from him addressing the Beyonce rumors, he also touched on quite a few really important issues in our community as well. He spoke about kind of perception of black people when you get into kind of high places and when you get into certain rooms. He also spoke about kind of generating black wealth and keeping the money within our
community. Yeah, I found that really interesting.
You know, it was really cool. And it's fitting now that just under 2 years on from this album being released, he's been announced as a billionaire, you know?
Yeah, it's perfect,
it's fitting.
It?
Because I remember a lot of criticism at the time this came out was like, oh, he's being preachy. He thinks he's higher than, he thinks like he's talking down at us. I was like, it depends on how you, if you're triggered, they're going to take it that way. But if you actually want to reach the status he's, I mean, he said, I'm trying to give you $1 million game, $1 million worth of game for $10.99. You know, that's what he said. Like, I'm not here to flex on you or brag on you. Like, you know, I'm here to just show you what I'm doing, you can do. Like,
he's speaking from the inside. And like,
I'm going to bust the door open so you can come after me. I'm not doing this for nothing. I'm not doing it just for myself. Which I think was a bit lost on his album, Magna Carta Holy Grail, where he was just chatting about his artwork and he's bought this and he's bought that.
Yeah, that kind of fell by the wayside.
You know? Although I actually quite like the album. But on this one, I think he addressed that. I was like, listen, all right, cool. I know previously you lot thought I was just flexing, but I'm here to actually just show you, like, there's a way, like, to do things, you know. And now, look, he's walked the walk, and he's, as well as talked the talk, he's now a billionaire. And I'm hoping now the impact of this album, I think it will be seen in 10, 15, 20 years' time.
Definitely.
That's a lot. We have more rich people in.
Yeah, that's why I loved the track Legacy on the album, because it's like, this isn't just for the money, the fame. It's about legacy,
I'm telling you.
So
a fun fact about, if you didn't know, I'm a big, big fan of Jay-Z, right? So I always have facts about Jay-Z. I told one to my group of colleagues at lunchtime today, and they're all so dumbfounded. But another one for you guys was that Jay-Z in, not H to the Izzo, in, what's the Annie sample? It's a Hard Knock Life, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously he had to get that sampled by, I think, the maker of Annie or whatever.
Yeah.
And instead of him getting it sampled, this is way back when he made it in 2001 or so, whenever it was, when he got it cleared in perpetuity for all hip-hop music. So it means that everyone coming after him in hip-hop who wants to use that sample has been cleared, pre-cleared already.
Wow.
You know? And that was an iconic sample. It's a hard knock life for us, you know?
And it's funny because no one's, well, not that I know of, no one's used it since then. Or at least use it in such an iconic way.
Yeah.
To be honest, it probably won't ever be as iconic.
So why not? But it's just, it's on the point of him, you know, creating a legacy. He's not doing this for himself. Like, he could have just cleared it for himself and thought, that's it. But he's like, you know, everyone can come through this door. I've just come through, you know. It's up to you whether you want to choose to come through or not. But, I got a lot of time and a lot of respect for him, you know. And it's also fitting. He's still on this stuff, you know, 2 years later with the whole, I think my last on spin was his soliloquy, monologue,
verse, Webster Hall,
whatever you want to call it, you know, where you're talking about, again, gentrifying your own neighbourhood and, you know, playing them at their own game and kind of, you know, not being crabs in a barrel per se, but letting each other through. So, salute to Jay-Z, man, on 444, 2 years on.
Have you watched his interview with, was it David Letterman?
I have watched it, actually. So you know Kanye put one out recently?
Yeah, I'm yet to watch that.
So before watching Kanye's one, I think it was after. So I watched Kanye's one, and then I went back and watched Jay-Z's one for a second, I think, or a third time. And I really enjoyed the interview. He's a very clinical person.
Yeah, I enjoyed that about him.
That's the chalk and cheese I saw between him and Kanye's interview. Is Kanye was, you know, obscure, abstract ramblings, and you're not quite sure what he's talking about or when he's talking about it. But Jay-Z, no word is wasted. Like, very clinical, and he's very calculated in what he gives away and what he doesn't. And you can just see him in a boardroom, you know, full of people, and being a very shrewd businessman. You can see why he is what he is. Very successful man.
Yeah.
You know? What did you think of the interview?
Yeah, definitely. I had, like, similar observation. Like, he's just very purposeful with his words. Very. And, like, I completely appreciate that in someone, because I'm someone who doesn't like to talk very much. I'm reserved. And I try to be purposeful in my words as well. So, like, I definitely see that in Jay-Z, and that's why I appreciate his style of rap as well. Yeah. So
it translates in his rap as well.
Yeah, there's not many opportunities to like see him or hear him in press. So yeah, I definitely savored that interview.
No,
yeah.
Definitely, man. I always look forward to a Jay-Z interview because he offers such great insights. If you haven't already, you should check it because you're entitled now. Rap Radar, they did a 2-part interview when 444 first came out. For you guys as well, if you want to check it out, I think it was 2 1-hour parts where some guys from Rot Nation, I think Elliot Wilson and another guy, interviewed him on 444 and kind of spoke in depth about the album. I think it's exclusively released on Tidal though, so if you haven't got Tidal, get Tidal. And if not, find a way to listen to it.
But listen, really, one day Tidal will be sponsoring us.
I'm telling you, plug them heavy. But it's even because it's because genuinely it's just a really good streaming service to get behind, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I mean, we talked about this in like
three episodes
back. So yeah, go ahead and listen to that if you haven't already.
Yeah.
But so I guess on to some of the big news of like this week in music, British music, Black British music, is the whole moment of Stormzy headlining the Pyramid Stage at Glastonbury 2019.
Big moment.
Did you watch it?
Not live, but I watched it afterwards.
Yeah.
So I watched it maybe an hour afterwards on my journey home, and I watched the whole thing. And I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, it was a moment.
It was.
So I had got back to my parents' house on like a Friday night, and to be honest, if not for that, I would have, my mum, like, she's a huge fan, right?
Yeah.
Bless her. If not for the fact that I went back home, I probably would have missed it, you know? But she was like, yeah, Stormzy's coming on, Stormzy. I was like, oh, yeah, he's headlining. So she was sat ready to watch it, yeah? And, like, I sat with her and I was like, oh, wow, do you know what? I'm glad I didn't miss this because this is an iconic moment for Black British history. And it just feels like, yes, grime has been about for years, and like we know that it has always existed underground, and we never thought it was something that would be taken mainstream, right? And so for Stormzy to be the chosen one is interesting. Some may not, you know, think that he was not deserved, but like just some people didn't think that it would be Stormzy to do it for the scene. But, I mean, you had him up there with Dave, and, like, he name-checked almost everyone in the game, and it was just, like, incredible.
Say what you want about his music and, I guess, his lyrical ability, but, like, I couldn't be happier with a chosen one.
Yeah.
Because similar to Jay-Z, and it's actually fitting that he was at the very beginning of his
set. Oh, yeah, that spun me. I was like,
it spun me into oblivion. Oh, I was like, my gosh. What? Someone on Twitter, you know,
iconic scenes.
You know, like, on Twitter, there's always that conversation, oh, would you rather £1 million or dinner with Jay-Z? So someone must have tweeted, oh, well, Stormzy had dinner with Jay-Z.
Stormzy chose
that made me laugh. And as we were saying with Jay-Z, and, you know, knocking the door down and bringing everyone else through, I feel like that's exactly what Stormzy is doing in, you know, being at the forefront of this, like, not only has he, you know, flown the flag, he's also said, but look at who else is behind me. Like, there's all these bagger men, like, and he didn't even just name London guys. He's named guys from Birmingham, from Manchester, like, all sorts of UK musicians, you know? And he's a good face for what we have going on.
Definitely.
Because, unfortunately or fortunately, wherever you want to take it, in order for us to be, or our music to be palatable, I think sometimes the face of it has to be a bit more squeaky clean. Like, you couldn't have someone like, I don't know, Getz, for example, be in the face of our music on such a scale, you know? I don't think it would be accepted as much. So because of it, I do think Stormzy is the right person to fly the flag, if I'm being honest.
I mean, I just feel like he's played the music business properly.
Very well.
That's something previous people haven't done. I mean, I guess at some point, people were looking at someone like Skepta to be the chosen one per se, but I mean, even Skepta had his moments where he didn't quite play the game right. Like, remember that whole
Rolex
moment?
Trying to do
that whole blacklisted era with the whole like.
Blacklisted was when he kind of snapped out of it. It seems like he's like, oh, I was on some bullshit before, but not anymore. But it was
just prior.
It was around the Rolex suit kind of and them tunes.
Yeah,
there,
even know. Wiley, Godfather of Grime, like he went through that whole
phase. Jumped
ship.
Yeah, that Summertime song, whatever. Like, they all jump ship, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, it just took someone with consistency and vision to get Grime to where it has been now. And yeah, that person was Stormzy.
Yeah. I always say, like, you know, whenever we have a huge moment in the UK, I don't know if I should use urban music or black music, whichever, when we have a major breakthrough moment, I always go back and listen to a song by Kano, who's, I've said so many times, he's my favourite UK rapper, because he was the first UK rapper that made me think, rah, like, he's actually, he's sick, like, I think he made an album called Home Sweet Home, and I was like, he's on par with these Americans, you know? And he, back in the day, when he was trying to blow, quote-unquote, he made a song called Layer Cake, and it's basically about how, as a grime artist, he has to go through so much bullshit, so many layers of bullshit before he can get on radio. And even when he gets on radio, he's overshadowed by some indie band who doesn't even make that good of music, and you know, he can't get the festival slots and this, that, and the other. And to see, you know, his clear frustration in that song, and to see where we've gotten to maybe 10, 15 years later, it's like, it's a real measure of where we've come from and where we go, where we've gotten to, sorry.
Yeah.
So I encourage you guys, listen to Kano, Layer Cake, listen to what he's saying and the struggles of our musicians back in the day, and see where we are now. We have people like Santan Dave, who's selling 30, 40,000 records in his first week, you know, going number one with Fredo, chatting about, I'm holding my dip while she's holding my waist, like, you know, it's like, and, you know, Stormzy also going number one, you know, Mos Def's album going number three. Like, we are now the predominant sound. We're now the dominant sound.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's awesome to see, because a few years back in America, they had a shift. So I don't know who it is, but the music recording agency or whatever, they said that rock and roll was, like, the predominant sound for since the 70s. I think it was around 2013, 14, where hip-hop then became the dominant sound in America. It had the most songs on, you know, number one in Billboard, or most songs on the Billboard charts at one time. And it seems like the UK is now also having that parallel shift with our type of music being at the forefront as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which is really cool to see, man. It's, you know, a lot of people are making money now. A lot of people are getting signed. We just now need someone like Stormzy, similar to the way Jay-Z's doing. Someone like Stormzy is like, all right, cool. You, man, getting signed. You, man, getting into deals and getting these number ones. Make sure you don't sign rubbish deals. Like, make sure. Because with Skepta, with Kano, with Wiley, they all signed shit deals. And that's why they had to succumb and do the stupid music they were doing. But Stormzy has never once compromised, because he's, you know, he's always been on his own terms.
Isn't he still unsigned?
No, he's with Atlantic. So okay. As soon as G-Sap dropped, he announced he was with Atlantic, although I think he was with Atlantic whilst recording G-Sap. That's neither here nor there. But I'm pretty sure he signed on his own terms. And
yeah.
I mean, he signed, Atlantic has his music under exclusive license from Murky. So it means that he's his masters, essentially.
Yeah,
he's
got Murky as a,
exactly.
Yeah, his own unit. Yeah.
Exactly. So
he
signed himself, and then he's in a partnership. Rather than they signed him, he's in a partnership with Atlantic. So I'm hoping now that Stormzy, as the flag holder, would also tell these men that all those 60 odd people that he's named, you know, would also tell them, listen, on the business side of things, this is how you pattern up. I'm hoping on, because he's finished his album now, and I think he's doing his rollout. I hope on his album he has a song or two dedicated to kind of making sure the people that he is breaking the doors down for are also equipped when they break through that door as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, let him fly the flag. He ain't done nothing wrong, man. You know, and he praises God openly, which is quite cool.
Yeah, it was really interesting to, because obviously I knew he would be doing like Blinded by Your Grace and other tracks from G-Sap, but he did it so openly at a festival like Glastonbury. It's like, I don't know if these white people are trying to hear most of what you're saying, but no, it was amazing. Like,
I'm trying not to do this, but there's actually so many parallels with Stormzy and Jay-Z. Not in terms of his musical ability or his music or anything, but Jay-Z was also the first hip-hop artist to headline
Glastonbury,
a couple
years,
you know?
Yeah, a couple years back.
And that was a big moment as well for just black music in general. Now Stormzy's come and done it for the UK.
Yeah, which is why like they had that whole moment in the room where they were talking.
Probably, that's probably what the basis of that conversation was.
Got advice from him. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh.
Yeah, wow. That gassed me. I was like, huh? imagine Jay-Z on a Stormzy
track. That was Stormzy's way of saying, listen, this is a big man thing.
I'm not a little man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Nah, big up him, man, every time. Like,
amazing, yeah.
He's doing his thing. But yeah, no, hopefully even more artists across, you know, all these festivals getting their slots on bigger stages at later times. You know, and like NSG who were put on in the afternoon on what was it, Afro Nation, and all of a sudden now I'm not coming anymore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Mm. If you were to like really quickly think of someone who is kind of next
up,
yeah, I feel obviously I think Stormzy will have a good run right in the game, but if there's anyone to like
probably
come next to him, like, who do you think it would be
in the UK?
Yeah,
it's probably Dave, man. It's probably Dave. Good in chat. Terms of numbers, in terms of popularity. I saw some video this morning of when he performed at Glastonbury. There was some white kid who came on and went back bar for bar with him on his song called Thiago Silva.
Really?
I'm telling you, like, it's regular white teenager. You bar for bar. Him and AJ Tracy's a bit bar for bar. Like, they love him. That crowd, Glastonbury crowd, love him.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He sold very well. And he makes good music as well. Like, his music is very introspective, has meaning, has concept and everything.
Yeah.
So I'd say...
I'd agree.
He's probably, like... I feel like Stormzy's, like... Forgive me for drawing these parallels. I don't mean in a musical sense, but in a stature sense. Stormzy's a bit like our Drake in that maybe sometimes his music is a bit watered down and he's not the best bar for bar. And then Dave is more like... Forgive me again, is more like Kendrick, who can also sell music but also has something to say, very pertinent to say in his music. You know, Drake will always be the bigger artist that sells more, but Kendrick will also sell well, but Kendrick will also give you a lot of substance and nothing is wasted in his music. So I'd say for that reason probably Dave is next up after Stormzy, or the closest person to Stormzy, I'd say.
Yeah, fair observations.
You know, we just gotta find our own J. Cole. Wonder who that would be. But RNG, J. Cole's probably rent free too, but he doesn't sell as well. Like, we need a top three, like, who sell as well as make good music.
Yeah.
But
speaking of J. Cole, did you catch those? It was like only two tracks.
Revenge of the Dreamers.
I don't know if that was what it was called, but Dreamville dropped.
I think it's called Revenge of the Dreamers 3.
Okay, I didn't even take notice of the name, but yeah.
Again, have they dropped?
No, it was just like two tracks.
I knew they were going to drop, but I didn't know they dropped already. I haven't had a... Listen, that's how busy I've been.
Okay, yeah.
I just haven't had the chance to even listen.
So there's one track with... it's got Ari Lennox on it.
She's wavy.
Omen, who is part of Dreamville. I saw him at J. Cole's concert back in, like, 2014
Pretty supporting, that's right.
Yeah. And... Yeah, I quite like Omen. I haven't heard much from him, like, at all.
He's only released one thing under Dreamville. Very much backbench, kind of.
But it was really good to hear him. And then, yeah, there's another track with, like, J. Cole, Bars, I think. Where it's a bit more rap, one. So, yeah, have a listen when you can.
I would. If I'd known it had dropped, I would have listened to it already, but I'm just... And because so much music drops nowadays, it's like hard to...
That one with Ari Lennox is called Got Me. And I really like that one.
But who would you say then is next to Stormzy, or just behind Stormzy?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. Dave.
I'm sure if I put more thought behind it, I'd probably come up with someone else. But
if we're talking... I mean,
J-Hus has a case. He's huge. He's going to have a big summer.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, man.
But J-Hus is... I feel like he's too much of a... I want to say rebel to reach that status without something going...
Been in jail too, but they ain't going to let him. The powers that be that... Because whether we like it or not, the powers that be have let Stormzy get to where he's got to, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, if they didn't want Stormzy, then Stormzy wouldn't be where he is.
Yeah.
And I feel like with J-Hus... Those same powers that be that may not have put Stormzy in that position, but have allowed it to happen, they wouldn't allow it for J-Hus, man. The guy just come out of jail.
I feel like he's, because of that, he's just going to stay in his own lane, keep quiet when he can, because, I mean, they've been trying to come for him from time.
Yeah.
So he needs to stay safe first and foremost. And I mean, I hope that doesn't affect his bags, like, and he's not, you know, his output doesn't suffer. Kind of has.
He's only got one festival this summer, so.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But yeah, for that reason, J-Hus, he's kind of just going to stay in his own lane and just do what he can here and there without getting caught slipping. What about some of the young ones out there?
I don't really
pay attention. Like, my brother's, like, into all of them, but, like, I don't know. People like One Asen and...
He's dope.
Yeah.
He makes good music. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like every song he makes isn't shit. Like, I may not like it or love it, but it's not a bad song.
Yeah.
Who's young? There's an artist called Peter Zan, who's quite cool. So he's, I'd say, like, the UK's Young Thug, in a way. He's quite cool. He's just released a song called In The Morning. He's got another song called Dopamine as well, which has done quite well. So I think he's really cool. He's one to watch as well. Who else is young and doing good music?
Have you heard of... I don't listen to him, by the way, but my brother, like, keeps talking about him to me.
Mm.
Young Ads.
Yeah. He's from Dirt, D-Block Europe.
I find him interesting because he's got that... I think he spent a bit of time in America, right?
So, yeah, with Jadakiss.
Yeah, he's got that really authentic, like, influence from America, but he still keeps it very UK with his sound.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's also authentic because he's, like, been through some stuff, and he, like, talks about it in the music.
Yeah,
so there's some substance there.
Definitely. And you can rap as well, really well.
Yeah,
no. Young Ads is really cool, actually. He's part of a collective called Dirtbike Europe. D-Block Europe, who has Dirtbike LB and him, Young Ads, in it. They're actually really, really cool. They got a project with... Young Bane, which I think was one of the best projects to come out of the UK last summer. So waiting on it. They've dropped another one called, I think it's called Home Alone, which I didn't enjoy as much, but it's still a good album. And it sold quite well, actually. They had, I think, 3 songs in their top 10 from that album when they released the album the week of its release. So they're really cool as well, actually. Say Hardy Caprio is about to have a good summer. Definitely.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I think K-Trap's just dropped an album. I haven't listened to it yet, but I think it seems like he's finally decided that he wants to take music seriously now, and this is what he's doing, because K-Trap was known to wear a mask and not really reveal his identity and that, but he released a song recently and the video came with it, and he kind of took off his mask as a way of saying, like, yeah, this is me, like, you know who I am, you know. So it seems like he's going to take music seriously, so it's interesting to see, you know, what he's going to do next, essentially.
I guess there's a lot of names. I mean, aside from, like, the ones Stormzy, like, shouted out on stage.
Yeah, he shouted out Pure People, man. Go listen to them. That's 65
people,
man.
That's, I mean, that's better than any list that we can give you.
I'm sure I could with time, but, like, I'd have to go through my phone. But, yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I guess, another roundup of everything that's been going on since we last spoke to you guys. So, yeah.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, taking everything that we've told you to go listen to.
Yeah, quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, follow us on the socials at Wheel It Pod.
Yep.
That's on Twitter and Instagram. We will try and get better with the social, but we've got a full-time lawyer and a full-time editor here. So.
Yeah, man, it's long.
Hello. Yeah, so yeah, follow us on our individual socials as well. I've actually changed my at, actually. Life Lammy Lived.
On some ASAP vibe. Alliteration.
It will be in the description. Yeah, and follow Carl on
At Cozy Carl. Cozy _ Carl. Cozy with a Z.
Yep. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Enjoy.